Coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by Dubloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DubloyElectric.com. And by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption, when it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At four locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at Rupert'sBeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by the founder of Seeds to Smiles, Lily Kreitzberg. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us today.
She's bright and cheery first thing
she
in the morning.
She is bright and cheery.
Yeah.
I do my best.
You're doing great.
And this is a brand new venture for you.
Yes.
Which is exciting. You just launched your website over the weekend, so we're going to get to that and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Monday, October 27th.
The Sun Journal reports that the Lewiston Police Department has begun a 60-day trial of AI-enabled license plate reading surveillance cameras, which have been installed at 7 undisclosed locations. If Lewiston retains the cameras following the trial period, it will pay a $70,000 annual subscription fee for 14 cameras. The first year would be funded by a grant awarded in June.
The City of Auburn is reminding residents that winter relief parking passes will be available starting next Monday, November 3rd. More information, including a list of winter relief parking lots, is available at auburnmaine.gov.
The City of Lewiston is holding a community mixer with City Administrator Brian Kainrath. The event is an opportunity for residents to share their questions and concerns to help shape the future of the city. It will take place on Wednesday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. at Lewiston Academy, 160 Lisbon Street.
Now it's time for the weather.
Weather? Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
Partly sunny today with a high of 51 and a low of 37. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 55 and a low of 39. And a mixture of sun and clouds on Wednesday with highs in the low 50s.
I'm waiting for my 75, 80 degree October day that we always get towards the end of the month. Where is that?
Might be past that.
You think so?
Kind of think so.
Oh, I'm holding out. I kind of want it. You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to paddleboard.
You're going to paddleboard? I think you might regret it.
Nah.
Okay.
Never. Did you see the over the weekend, a lot of like local little towns did their witches on paddleboards thing? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so cute. They dress up as witches and they paddleboard down like the local river. It's they do it up in Rumford. It's so
cool.
Cute.
That's
here
awesome.
In Maine. Yeah, but they do it all over the country. It's like a Halloween thing.
And where are you during this event?
I know. I'm usually busy.
All right.
It's like on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Like, why don't those witches have to go to work? In sports, Drake May passed for 282 yards and 3 touchdowns as the Patriots beat the Cleveland Browns, which is probably a good thing because weren't they like really bad?
Oh, yeah. The Browns are not good.
Like really, really bad?
The Browns haven't been good for 80 years.
Okay. Score ended up being 32-13, so you can kind of tell they're not that great. New England has won 5 straight and will host the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday afternoon.
The Celtics are still winless this season. They lost to the Detroit Pistons 119-113. Boston will visit the New Orleans Pelicans tonight at 8.
They're missing Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum.
It's hard without him.
Yeah.
Well, Maine's Cooper Flagg scored 22 points as his Dallas Mavericks picked up their first win of the season over the Toronto Raptors 139-129.
The Bruins visit the Ottawa Senators tonight at 7:30. They actually won a game on Saturday.
I know. I saw that.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be, I wonder if Allmark will be in the, he's with the Senators now, right?
He sure is.
I wonder if he'll be in the goal. We'll have a Swaim and Allmark reunion. Aww. I love them. back when we were good.
That's right.
The Maine Nordiques swept the Rochester Junior Americans out of Auburn, winning 3-1 on Friday and 2-0 on Saturday. The Nords will host the Johnstown Tomahawks this weekend.
The NA3 Nordiques will host the Norwich Sea Captains on Friday afternoon in Auburn.
And the Lewiston Maniacs will host Universal Quebec on Friday and Saturday in Lewiston.
And Central Maine Community College women's hockey beat UMass Lowell 9-0.
A shutout.
That's a trouncing.
Nah,
that's a drubbing.
Yeah, 9 in a hockey game is a lot.
Yeah. That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is sweeping the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for October the 27th, shall we?
Alrighty.
Okay. We're going to start off with TV personality Kelly Osbourne, who is 41 years old today. She is the daughter of Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne and became famous with their reality show, The Osbournes, which ran from 2002 to 2005.
I feel like she's done some other reality shows, too.
Probably. She was on Project Catwalk, Fashion Police, Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, with who?
I don't know.
Carrie Ananaba.
Oh, Carrie Ananaba, that's right. I immediately was like, who did she dance with? I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All that matters is Carrie Ananaba
was
on
there.
The show.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know why that is so amusing to us, but I really, really like it.
I'm not sure if it's three names or one name.
I don't.
Or two names.
Again, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It sounds pretty cool.
It just sounds good.
Singer Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is 67 years old today. Mm-hmm. They're big hits. Hungry Like the Wolf. Rio.
Rio.
Right? Mm-hmm. They also did the title track to one of the James Bond movies.
Oh, really?
Yes, they
did. I didn't know that.
And let's see here. Rounding out FPBs for October the 27th is legendary actor, comedian, John Cleese, who is 86 years old today.
Definitely a treasure.
Absolute treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, one of the six members of Monty Python and Monty Python's Flying Circus and all the great films that went along with it. Mm-hmm. Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Life of Brian, The Meaning of Life. The list goes on.
It does go on.
He also played Basil Fawlty in one of the greatest sitcoms ever, Fawlty Towers, which came out in the mid-70s. Yeah.
Yep.
Basil was ranked second on the list of the 100 greatest TV characters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Second.
I don't know who was first.
I
tried to research it, but couldn't find it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He was also in A Fish Called Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Back in 88?
Mm-hmm. Way back, yeah.
Way back.
Yeah.
Way back machine. But yeah, he's been in a bunch of films. Incredible writer, incredible actor. Just an all around.
He's just funny,
great
too.
Great entertainer.
Yeah.
Yep. And October 27th is also National American Beard
Day. Yay!
So.
We had to jump on board the whole Oktoberfest, huh?
Yeah.
We had to make it our own.
That's right.
Can't be German.
Still spell it with a K, though.
Yeah.
I think. Wait, I got to check. We have
check
a Baxter.
Do we have a Baxter? What do we have in there?
We do. Yep, spelled with a K.
See?
It's a rough gig we have over here, Lily.
Yeah. we're gonna drink that later this week.
I open our refrigerator full of alcohol, and Lily's like, oh, that's
so,
how they do things
here.
That's
an interesting way to get through the day.
Amazing.
It's our job.
Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
Well.
It's a lot for a Monday, isn't it? It's a lot for a Monday.
9 years ago in 2016, Twitter announced the death of Vine. And millennials everywhere cried into their soup. They disabled uploads immediately, but let you continue watching old content until April of 2019.
Vine didn't last all that long, did it?
No, it didn't.
Just a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun, though. What were they, like 6-second videos?
Yeah, they were quick. Yep. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
21 years ago in 2004, history was made when the Boston Red Sox won their first World Series in 86 years.
Oh, what a glorious
night. They reversed the curse.
What a glorious night that was.
Oh, I remember.
It was the best.
I remember. It was so good. 33 years ago in 1992, Cher sued the rich seaside city of Malibu, California, after she was denied in her application to build a new home on a bluff overlooking the beach.
Who denies Cher anything?
I don't know.
Well,
maybe they thought she was a gypsy.
Ooh.
Or a tramp.
Or a thief.
Or a thief.
I see what we did there.
You see what I did there? 34 years ago in 1991, the first U.S. death resulting from bungee jumping occurred in Paris, California. How Mark Irish, jumping from a hot air balloon, plummeted over 60 feet to his death after becoming disconnected from his bungee cord.
Oh, my.
As though hot air balloons were not dangerous enough.
Ugh.
Let's add the element of bungee jumping from it.
Sounds
come on,
like a
buddy.
Idea.
Have you ever been bungee jumping, Lily?
No.
No. I haven't either. I've done some crazy stuff,
but
never bungee jumping. I've been skydiving.
Oh, cool.
For
okay.
some reason, bungee jumping never appealed to me.
No. It's like you're like a tea bag. It's not. I don't feel like that would be much fun. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And if you're jumping from a hot air balloon, wouldn't safety, I mean, safety should be your primary concern anyways, but from a hot air balloon, which isn't done all that often, maybe make sure everything's secure.
Yeah. 50 years ago in 1975, Bruce Springsteen got a huge career boost from being featured on the covers of both Time and Newsweek magazines. Ironically, both magazines used his picture to illustrate the power of the media to create a star.
Oh.
They did it.
Yeah, and they're still
for
doing
sure.
it.
And they're still doing it, yeah. 52 years ago in... Your name popped up and covered the year, so I couldn't math that fast. 52 years ago in 1973, Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Knight and the Pips hit number one on the pop singles chart.
Right.
He's leaving on a midnight train to Georgia.
I've always wanted to be a Pip.
Aww.
I thought that would be pretty cool.
I think you're
cool.
A Pip.
Oh, thanks.
And 87 years ago in 1938, DuPont announced a name for its new synthetic yarn, nylon. Ooh.
Are you a fan?
Of nylon?
The nylon?
It makes me itch, no.
Okay.
I don't like it. I'd rather have wool.
Just
wool or cotton. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's a cool creation. DuPont is like one of those manufacturers of really neat innovations.
Oh, yeah, and poisoning the planet as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, with innovation comes some sacrifices.
Some good, some bad. Right? Can't have it all. Those are your FPBs and OTDs for October the 27th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. Parents, sew an AirTag or other GPS tracker into your child's backpack. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
Now, we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, founder of Seeds to Smiles, Lily Kreitzberg. Let's start with this. What exactly is Seeds to Smiles?
What is it?
What's it all about?
So it is a garden design and installation company, specifically for companies and community organizations. So not for your backyard family home, but for schools or churches or senior living centers, nursing homes, hospitals, that sort of thing, to design and build gardens that are based on the capacity of the space and also on the capacity of the people there. So part of the company idea of the vision is to build the social infrastructure to get the people to use it in whatever they're doing, to bring their patients out, to bring their students out, and to get maximum benefit from being in the garden.
Wonderful. Let's get a little bit of background on you and how you came up with this concept.
Yeah, absolutely. So after I graduated college, I farmed for 2 years. I was an apprentice on a small farm, and I learned everything about growing my own food, which was really, really cool. And then I moved up here to take a job serving in a branch of the AmeriCorps called Food Corps. And I got to do kind of exactly what I just described for Geiger Elementary up the road in Lewiston. And it was so fun. And I got to sort of design my own AmeriCorps experience around what I gravitated toward, which was, hey, you guys don't have gardens. You want gardens. And we worked with Isolo, who's a really cool local muralist, to put a really big mural in. And we worked with Retrias to put orchards in. And it was just a super magical experience. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome to see the kids really like thrive in the garden space. So I was like, I just want to recreate that. You know, everyone should have that.
Yeah. So growing your own food.
Yeah.
It is. My wife started that during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people have.
Yeah.
They had to take up new hobbies at home. Mm-hmm. And it changed our lives.
Yeah.
Like, literally changed our lives, cool. changed our diets, and mm-hmm. we are much better and healthier for it.
That's awesome.
As well.
Yep.
What impact did that have on your life?
I mean, I'm someone who loves to cook, so seeing the source of all my food was, like, so fun. And I love eating seasonally, of like, especially in Maine, there's so many cool farms. I love to just eat what is available locally. And I feel really good because of it. But mostly I just love being outside. And I was not an outdoorsy kid. I was not an athletic kid. And farming, I was like, oh, I can be outdoorsy in a different way. And I can be athletic in a different way. And it was really empowering.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
So tell us about the Geiger Project.
Yeah, the Geiger Project was a lot of fun. So I was the only like Food Corps service member stationed there for the 2 years. And they had a small little garden that a past staff member had put in but had since left the school. So no one really knew what the deal was. And it was mostly perennial ornamental plants. So stuff that, you know, you can't replant every year. It comes up, it looks pretty. But the kids, like, we're having a hard time interacting with that garden, and none of the staff knew what to do with it. There was no one in charge. There was nothing. So I was like, we're going to change a few things here. So I changed some of the like infrastructure of the garden to be safer for a bunch of five-year-olds to run around in, and just expanded the areas. And when I was ready to build in the spring of my first year with them, I invited everyone who wanted to show up to come help build a garden. And I had like 50 people. Grandparents, uncles, parents, kids, siblings. It was such a sweet moment. And everyone like rolled out landscaping fabric and laid brick pavers and filled it with compost. So it just sort of grew from there.
That's
so
lovely.
It was really great.
To have such a buy-in into the project too.
Yes.
Like you really feel invested in it. And I'm sure as the children like kind of grow out of the school and move on to like middle school or high school, that's something that they will take with them and hold on to. It's so cool.
So. Yeah.
You mentioned making the garden safer for younger people. Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah. So one of the first things I noticed about the original garden was that they had like little pea gravel as the mulch over it, which you need something if you don't like, if you don't want to spend time mowing your garden, you need mulch covering the lawn. But the first thing that the first graders would do is like pick it up and like throw it at each other.
Oh, weird how kids love to throw things.
So I was like, we're getting rid of that. So it's like wood chips everywhere. Everything is like softer, safer. We were able to put a fence in with the school's help, which like mostly like I didn't care about animals coming in, but kids coming out is a thing that can happen. So when we fenced it in, a lot more of the teachers felt comfortable taking their classes out. So just little things to be like, this garden can look however you need it to look to make you feel safe and happy in it.
Aww, so, I love it.
Yeah.
And do you grow food in the garden or just flowers or what's in like in that particular garden?
In that particular garden, we grew a lot of like annual vegetables. We would do corn. We've had success with pumpkins the 2 years that I was there, which is so fun.
Yeah.
Like onions and leeks and radishes and things like that. Plus some flowers, like the kids always want to see flowers. And then we put in 30 fruit trees. So
apples. 30?
30. Yeah. It was a big project. Apples, peaches, and pears. And those, apparently they got some fruit off of them this fall, but they will just continue to bear more fruit.
Bigger and more healthy.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great experience for kids who live in the city and might not necessarily have an opportunity to travel outside of that to see what farming or gardening actually looks like. Or, you know, maybe they live in an apartment building. There is no place for that at home. So that's really neat.
Exactly. That's a huge draw for it, of like just moving your bodies outside, learning where your food comes from. And, you know, kids love like pulling up a carrot or a radish or something. So a lot of them didn't know how the plants grow.
We were very fortunate. St. Mary's had a community gardening program that started when we moved here. And we had a garden within walking distance of our house, and later one that was literally within view of our home that we were able to move to. And so my son was little at that time. And that was such a great experience for him, because he'd never, you know, we're in the city, but we have a yard, but it's not a place where we could grow fruit or vegetables. And so to be able to just walk to this garden and kind of experience every day, like different things. Like we even released praying mantis into our garden. Which and happened to be there on the day that the little bulb hatched, and got to see like hundreds of these little baby praying mantises. So just like experiences like that, that I know were special for him, like to be able to see that that's happening outside of like individual homes is really cool.
It is.
Thank you for doing that.
Well, of course.
So you've turned your passion into a career now.
Yes.
Tell us about that process, because it's a big leap.
Yeah.
It is a big leap. My parents are so supportive. My parents are small business owners, and they've had a company for 20 years now, and they were like, look, I mean, you could look for jobs. And I was like, I don't really want to do that.
Who does?
And they were like, or, I mean, you have this great idea. Like, you have this expertise, this passion. Like, see where that takes you. Just go for it. When my dad started his company, he had like three little kids to feed, and it was a leap for him. And he was like, you don't have that. Like, you're like, you can just take advantage of this time window that you're in your life right now. So, so I'm doing it, you know, why not?
When did your love of the outdoors begin?
When I started farming, which was like after college. Like, I was growing up as a kid. My mom tried to do a garden project with me, and I was like, it's hot and gross and dirt and the bugs. And I've heard
those things myself as a mom.
I didn't like it. And I didn't last very long as a 10-year-old. But yeah, when I majored in conflict analysis and resolution in college, which is like a mouthful of a major. But my senior thesis was about the healing properties of like returning to the land and sustainable agriculture for like body, mind, spirit, all that stuff. So I graduated in the middle of COVID, and I was like, what am I going to do? The world is shut down. And I was like, might as well learn how to do this thing I just wrote a big paper about. And I started farming, and that's when I was like, oh, this feels good. I like this now. I like it now. It took time. It had to hit me at the right point, but it did.
Well, and that was something that during COVID, that was something that you could do. You could be outside, and you could, you know, even be around other people, because you were
distanced,
far enough apart to be able to communicate with people and still be safe.
Completely.
That's very cool. You were able to do that, too.
Sarah and I used to have a regular guest, Tyler Gammon from Gammon's Garden Center, right up the road here. And he's
lovely.
He's got like three kids.
And I think he has four.
He has four?
I think so.
I can't keep up.
I don't know. I got to catch up with him. He was bragging about him last time he and I talked. I'll have to check in with him.
But his kids are growing up with that. Like, their hands in the soil and growing their own food and an appreciation of nature. And I thought that was just the coolest thing, because a very small percentage, as you know, of our population grows up that way.
Totally.
And they're better people for it. Can you elaborate on the healing properties of nature?
Yeah, totally. I mean, different people have a different concept of what nature means to them. Like, I grew up close to the Jersey Shore, so the ocean was always like my place to go. But there's so many studies being done on whether it's the ocean, the mountains, the trees, the forest, whatever that is good for you. Something about farming that's different is like you get to interact. Like, you get to actually heal the earth. Because so much of farming is actually bad for the earth, right? We use toxic chemicals, we use big tractors, we like rip up a lot of stuff. But gardening in a small way, or farming in an intentional way, is actually like, oh, I can make sure that the wildlife species are safe. I can make sure that I'm not poisoning my garden. I can ensure that the carrot I'm pulling from the ground is, you know, was grown with good practice and is good for my body. So I think that does something additional to just being outside, to getting the vitamin D and the fresh air. And there's something really empowering about it of like, hey, I did a really cool thing. I wasn't sure if I could. There's challenges. You grow every year from it. And having kids and other people have that experience is like really cool. Like they've done so much research on veterans struggling with PTSD, and gardening is one of those things that like really just brings them into the present moment and helps them recover. So
we see that at the Chapman House, where there was a big empty parking lot. I don't know if you're newer to the area, I'm thinking.
Yes.
But there was a big empty parking lot just outside of their facility. And about, I don't know, it's been probably 10 years, they started something beautiful there where they created a walking path and then a gazebo and then gardens. And you can see the residents of this assisted living facility walking the loop. And we've had Bonnie on, who runs the Chapman House, and she's talked with us about the raised beds and how, you know, the women of the house get to enjoy food that they've grown from those raised beds and that they're served in their kitchen, and how that really does empower them and gives them a sense of pride in having done something like that. But also just being outside is so good for them physically.
Yeah.
And so we see like the unused space turned into something remarkable like that is incredible.
Yeah, completely. And especially when you're talking about like the elderly population that I also think Seeds to Smiles could help. Like there's a huge loneliness factor there and working together with a community and doing something that maybe you did when your kids were little and now you're older and you don't have your own space. Like I think it could really fill in that gap too.
Sure.
The news every now and again has stories about forever chemicals.
Yeah.
PFAS, and a lot of farms are being shut down because of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a concern of yours, and how big of a concern is it to you, and is there any way to combat PFAS?
From what I've read, there's no way to combat it. I mean, it just is going to start showing up in more and more places. But I do a soil test and check for toxicity levels and things if we shouldn't be planting in the ground. And then you could always bring in soil on top of that. So that's what I did for Geiger. Nothing came back toxic or there was no lead, nothing like that. But I still brought in more topsoil and that helped. So it's definitely a concern. And it's also like, well, maybe we can't eat the food here, but we can still grow beautiful flowers, right? So there's always something that we can do. So, it's going to be harder in the future. Yeah.
And now there are a couple of notices that went out about, I think it was up in northern Maine, about livestock contaminated with PFAS. It is, it's so depressing.
Yeah.
And we can thank DuPont partially for
that. Oh, DuPont.
And Monsanto.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that, for sure.
Exactly.
I'm looking at photos of your Geiger project, and I had no idea it was on such a huge scale. Yeah. This is incredible.
Thank you.
And the mural is fantastic. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks like such a lovely space for children to spend time in. And I'm impressed by the pumpkins, I have to say.
I was too.
That's incredible.
Pumpkins are can be hit or miss. And we grew our largest pumpkin was, I think, 38 pounds.
They're huge.
Year.
I've never been able to grow a pumpkin like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I can't tell you why.
And I love that it's not just all contained. There's a little bit of wildness to it, which makes it so much more organic feeling and natural. Yeah. I love that. It's just beautiful.
Yeah,
well
thank
done.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's organic feeling. And it's also like I want gardening to feel accessible. So like teachers, elementary school teachers are so busy. Yeah. They have so much on their plates. They don't have a lot of bandwidth. And I want them to feel like you can still do this. Like you don't have to pull every weed. You don't have to like harvest every tomato and prune tomatoes. Like we can do certain plants that are okay being a little rambly. And like you don't really have to touch throughout the season. So like I want to encourage everyone that like there's a garden that works for you.
I feel like that's probably a deterrent for a lot of people who maybe do want to get into gardening is, I don't have the time or I don't have the bandwidth that as you say, the capacity in my day to fit one more thing that I need to take care of into my life. But I love that you can find plants and fruit and vegetables that just are a little bit more hands off and still beautiful. Like to even just go and sit here looks like it would be a wonderful way to spend just a few minutes regrouping.
Yeah. And it's been really great of like the occupational and physical therapists use the space with their one-on-ones and our like our social worker clinicians will take their one-on-ones out there too when the weather is nice. And it's just a thing of like the kids are inside so much. Their recess is like 20 minutes. Like they need more touch points with the outside. So yeah, it's just a fun space to hang out in.
A great way to ground, to reconnect and ground.
Yeah.
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 That's beautiful.
Thank you.
How are you acquiring clients, Lily? Are they coming to you? Are you going to them? What's happening there?
Some combination. I'm in this really cool like window right now that I sort of is a like in my brain like a metaphor for like the fall garden, right? Of like in the fall, the garden looks a little bare, like it's lost the summer lushness, but you're doing a lot of work to prepare it for the spring. So I'm like at that point in my business of like I'm doing a lot of networking, doing a lot of groundwork, going to start reaching out to people and just, yeah, see where it leads me. So some combination of my website is now up. I run a little Substack blog. Whoever hears about me is more than welcome to reach out. And I will also go seeking people.
And you offer a free 30-minute consultation.
Yeah, I'll come check out your site, and we'll talk about what kind of gardens you're dreaming about and what your site might be able to hold, and we can go from there.
And as a farmer, you're always thinking like 3 months ahead.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
You have to.
Even more, like right now, garlic's going in.
Garlic's going in, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotta get it in there.
I learned that from Andrew McBean.
About garlic?
The timing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of farmers. Like, it's fascinating to me.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool.
Where you're like, yes, it's fall now, but in my brain, it's winter.
Already thinking about, the next season.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gotten really lucky in that it's been warmer later into the season, and I don't know that the urgency of got to get that in the ground before it gets too cold is sort of not there right now. Like, I really need to get my garlic in.
Yeah. I feel like you have a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Fantastic website, by the way.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you so much. My graphic designer will be very happy to hear that.
Is there anything else about Seeds to Smiles that you would like our listeners to know before we move on to our final segment?
No, I don't think so. Right. Yeah, I think that just about covers it.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yes, for sure.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did there.
Not bad for a Monday.
Yeah. No, we're on it. I like it.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
All right, Lily, we like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions, where we will ask you three questions that have nothing to do with your area of expertise.
Okay.
We're just trying to get to know you a little better as a member of our community. So I will start. Lily, what is your favorite way to unwind after a busy day?
I do several things. I like to read. I will call loved ones and family members. And I just love to cook. Like if I have some time on like a Sunday and I just went to the farmer's market, I'll just like spend an hour just playing in the kitchen of like, what can I come up with today?
Did you go to school for that?
Cooking?
Yeah.
No, never did.
Are you self-taught?
Self-taught.
Going on over there?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was a Food Network kid. I watched nothing but the Food Network for like 10 years of my childhood, and I can cook anything I want now.
All right.
Yeah.
Another incredible skill.
Yeah, it's pretty it's fun. Yeah.
Yes. Just from watching the Food Network?
For 10 years. And my grandmother and my mom.
All right. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed what a season of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives can do.
To an 8-year-old, so. Yeah.
Are you a Guy Fieri fan?
Well, maybe when I was like 7, but I don't know.
Was it the hair?
The hair is a little weird. I don't know.
Do you have any favorite shows on the Food Network? You're watching?
The Barefoot Contessa, Ina Garten, just such classic. I mean, for me, it's just so nostalgic to like put on an episode of like 2004, like Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm a British Bake Off gal.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. That's not really a Food Network thing, but that's like if I'm going to watch other people cook.
Yeah.
That's the one.
And they're so nice to each other.
Yeah.
That's the part I like about that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Brits.
Different. Yeah. They're a different breed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very different.
All right. my question for you is, would you rather be 12 inches tall or 12 feet tall?
Whoa, 12 inches tall.
Yeah, why?
Because of gardens.
Oh, you could be like a little gnome in there?
A little like garden fairy. I could see everything that goes on. Yeah,
nice.
That'd be fun.
Would you make friends with like the groundhog? And
maybe not the groundhog. I think I'd be a little scared of a groundhog at that height. But like the little earthworms and stuff.
Oh, I love earthworms. Mark made fun of me one time because I stopped to move an earthworm and it made me late for work.
I didn't make fun of you. I just laughed really hard.
Okay, fair.
All right,
fair. I love them.
Fair.
They're so squishy.
Lily, have you ever considered creating your own cooking show?
Ooh.
There is home video footage of me when I was not yet speaking. I was a toddler, and I was playing with my grandmother's like little spices and kitchen utensils doing a little thing, and my mom recorded it and she's like narrating, and it's very sweet. And for a long time I definitely had dreams of doing my own cooking show. And now like YouTube is such a thing that people don't need a Food Network show to like just cook and show people what you're doing. So
maybe could easily do that.
Easily, yeah.
All right, so let's expand on that. If you had the opportunity to create your own cooking show, what would the format be?
The format. It would be local, seasonal. Like what to do with like, you know, you just harvested 10 million pounds of cucumbers. What do you do with them? Or, you know, when I have my own homestead, garden, farm situation, I want to like make my own dried spices and grow all the chili peppers to supply my, you know, hot sauce for the year and do different ferments and stuff. So it would definitely be a very nerdy, geeky, here's what you do with all your produce that you don't know what else to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have so much kale right now. It's coming out my ears.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh
boy.
Like it has hit its stride and I'm like, that was too much. I planted too much.
Lots of smoothies. Lots of kale chips.
Yeah. I've made a seasonal fall salad before that's like butternut squash, roasted butternut squash and kale and a nice little light vinaigrette with some toasted pepitas.
Mm-hmm. So,
we'll try that this week and see if we can get Nick to eat that. Probably he won't.
Is he not a vegetable guy?
He's a meat and potatoes guy.
Meat and potatoes, so
we've been together for like 4 years now. Mm-hmm. This is he still struggles sometimes when I put very green things in front of him. Like he'll eat it, but he's like
not the preference.
I'm like, this is what we're having. Sorry.
I have a friend like that too. He will go out to eat and he'll get a cheeseburger and the first thing he'll do is pick the lettuce off. Tomato off. It's like, none of that.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Nick has this thing where he's like, if you put it in front of me, I'll eat it. But then you get like the face anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to eat it, but
I don't want to.
You can make peanut butter and jelly.
There you go.
Right.
Lily, where can folks go online to learn more about Seeds to Smiles?
Yeah, so seedstosmiles.com is my website. I also have a Substack called Growing Seeds to Smiles, which you can probably just Google, I'm assuming.
I'm doing it now.
And it's also, it should be somewhere on the website too where it can take you to that page. So, yeah.
Awesome. And you're on the Facebook as well?
I'm on the Facebook.
On the Facebook.
Still,
all the things.
All the things. Still trying to like make my social media presence more known, but I'm on it. You can probably find me there.
Who has the time when you're outside?
I know, right? Priorities.
All that nature has to offer. Lily, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, guys.
Best of luck to you and Seeds to Smiles.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks
to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DeBlois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you would like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say I have bitten my cat.